Turning this morning to Paul's letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, and I read verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Four verses to cover for our thinking this morning, and my title is Resolving Identity Crisis. So the cure for identity crisis. Just few words of introduction before we look at the verses. My dear friends, we are told, look at it in verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Speaking about the law, Christ has come. The elements of faith have come. We are no longer under the rudiments of the law of God in terms of salvation. But as we said on Wednesday, the law cannot save you and me. But once you are saved, the law is the rule of life for your sanctification and for my sanctification. So that which is perfect has come. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ makes you to be graduated. You have graduated. It is as if you were at uni and here is your graduation day. We put it in human terms. But not only that you have graduated, but it is as if you have moved from infancy to maturity. Why? Before you were a prisoner, before you were under the tyranny of sin, but now you have graduated. You have moved from childhood to adulthood. You see the difference between the time you were not a believer and now you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are no more under the dominion of sin. You are a child of God. So Christ has come. Verse 25, he has come. This is the promise. Going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Christ is called there the seed of the woman. And when you study the book of Genesis, and even here in Paul's letter to the Galatians, what did we say? Christ is the seed of Abraham. Seed in singular, special seed, unique seed, exceptional seed. He is the seed of Abraham, meaning he is the fulfiller of the promise made to Abraham. That through Abraham, God is going to bless the nations through the seed of Abraham. That is Christ. And God kept his promise and he's still keeping his promises today for you and me. So Christ has come not only being the seed of Abraham, but he is also the son of David. Going back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, already there in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God said to David that it is his seed, it is his offspring that is going to sit on the throne of God. Just think about it, my dear friends. Who dares to sit on the throne of God? Only God could sit on that throne. But Christ is also the Son of God. You remember the prophecy or the angel when he was speaking to Mary in Luke chapter 1. Christ is called there the Son of God, eternal God, and the Holy One. So all these titles are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. But to come back to our context here, Christ is the Son of God. He came with his own blood. Not with the blood of something, not with the blood of animals. You know, the priests in the Old Testament, when they go to the tabernacle, when they enter the temple, they bring not their own blood, they bring not their own life, but they will bring the blood of the animals. But Christ entered in the holy place with his own blood. He shed that blood on the cross of Calvary. But again, let me add this to you. He came, Christ came, still in verse 25 there, Christ came with the keys of the dungeon. We were prisoners under the dominion of sin, but Christ came. That penitentiary which locked you and closed you in handcuffs, oh, Christ came to set you free, to set you free. And this is why we have to understand that now we are no more under that schoolmaster, that pedagogue, giving us instruction, restriction, correction, and protection from evil influences. That is the law. But now we are given a better protection. We are given the Lord Jesus Christ. We are given the Father. We are given the Holy Spirit. But my dear friends, we are given 66 books, the divine library, to help us in our daily walk. The mind of God are at our disposal in order to live a sanctified life. And in Christ, we have been given a better protection than the law. The law is a killer. The law is a hammer. The law is a guide. The law is a mirror. The law is a bridle. The law is a brake, but it cannot give life. Life came when we have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then suddenly, because you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, because the dungeon is opened and you are set free, now you delight in the law of God. I love thy law, you could say as a believer. My dear friends, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know? Oh, look at your identity, your new identity. Look at your new privileges. Look at your new status. Look at your new nature. Look at your new heart. And you know, there is that booklet which we recommend to everyone, the 7 certain signs of conversion. How do I know I'm saved? The first thing, I need that conviction of sin. Have you ever been convicted of your own sins? Or you just heard that Jesus Christ loves sinners and here I am, now I'm converted. No, there must be an earthquake, a spiritual earthquake in your soul in order to understand what it means to have a Savior. Then I also need to love the Word of God. And third, I need to love the brethren. Fourth, I need to love prayer. Before, my prayers were just mechanical. Lord, help me in my exam. Lord, give me this, give me that. But now I give thanks to the Lord. I thank thee, Lord, for salvation. I thank thee for my Savior. I thank you. I thank thee for Calvary. I thank thee for the church. I thank thee for thy word. This is how prayer should be. Nothing mechanical, but deep. Oh, yes, we have to keep it simple, childlike faith. Then there is also, fifthly, a measure of assurance. I'm given that measure of assurance. Before, I doubted about everything, but now I know. I know I belong to God. I know something new has happened in my life. And the sixth one, I have been given a new heart. I have that new heart. And then the seventh one, there is the attacks of Satan. My dear friends, when you feel attacked, please don't doubt of your salvation. That is a proof. That is a proof that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will not disturb somebody who is still in his fortress. Actually, he will be very happy to keep you calm, to keep you without any doubt there. You know, he will keep you fresh there because you are under his rulership. But when those doubts come to your life, oh, am I really saved? That is a good sign. It is a good sign when we read the Word of God. It is a good sign because now I know if God has not done a work in my life, I would never even ask myself, am I saved or am I a Christian? So look again, your identity. Look what God is offering you. Oh, I said too much in that introduction, but look at the four verses we are going to cover this morning. I believe they give us the cure, the remedy, the solution, the antidote for all our human identity crises. Who am I? Am I a boy? Am I a girl? What gender I am? Which nationality I am? Which world I belong to? All these questions are here. I know this is one of the portions of the scriptures which are, some people say it is the most complicated one and it is the most misunderstood one, but I think it is the simplest portion. If you look at it really with the eyes of the scripture, comparing scripture with scripture, this is better than any therapy. This is better than any psychoanalyst, any psychiatrist, or any psychologist. It's all here to make us to know who we belong to. My dear friends, what matters is not what you possess, but who possesses you. That is really the big question we have to ask in our daily walk. Four verses, four headings. Let me list you the titles of each heading. The first one, identified. Who are you? You are identified in verse 26. The second one, you are baptized in verse 27. The third one, you are brought into unity. We are united in the body of Christ, in the church of Jesus Christ. And the fourth one in verse 29, we are made all equal in Christ Jesus. So without further ado, look at verse 26, identified. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I believe when I read this verse, it reminds me, it is as if Paul echoes John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. You remember what he said in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13? To them that believe on his name, to them that have received him, he gave the power to become the children of God, born not of the flesh, not of the blood, not of the human will, but born of God. That is the power God gives you when you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this is what Paul is remembering here. How are you saved? The text says, we, ye all, who are in Christ, saved by Christ, in Christ Jesus, by believing in Christ Jesus. That is what the verse is telling us, my dear friends. Only those who trust on the Lord Jesus Christ are the children of God. So you are identified. This is your identity. This is your identification. How do you know? Oh, I have believed. Highlight or underline that verb, to believe, to trust, to yield your life, to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we were not before the children of God. That is the meaning of the tense also. We were not. Guess who were we before? Oh, I must tell you before even I explain that. You were not saved by good works. You were not saved by Jewishness. You were not saved by your ethnicity. You were not saved by anything you do. My dear friends, anything you do will spoil the gift of God. Anything you do to earn the grace of God will become vanity. Anything you do, Romans chapter 3, verse 4, I think, says, if you try to work for it, you will spoil it. And the gift which is supposed to be a gift will stop to be a gift. A gift must remain a gift. You don't contribute to it. We are not even saved by the so-called holy baptism. Nothing we do will save us. We were not before children of God. We were under curse. We were under the dominion of sin. We were under the tutelage of the law of God. But when Christ came, the Holy Spirit moved you. You were shaken and you saw. You remember the seven certain signs, the first one, you were convicted of your own sins. Lord, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. Sometimes I ask people when we meet, the first thing I ask them when I see some self-righteousness, do you believe that there is no other sinner in this world who is not better than you? Yes, everyone is better than me. Everyone is better than me. I'm a wretched sinner. That is the identity of a man who wants to be saved. But the new faith that is given to us has shifted, has transformed, has changed, and we have been given a new status. The new status is here, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I don't have time to count them for you, but later please read again those four verses. Look how many times Christ Jesus, Christ, Christ, it's all about him. If you have enough energy, throughout chapter 3 again, count how many times the word faith, the word promise, the word Christ Jesus, all this is done for you to have an assurance that God has done great things to you in order to become a child of God. And the new birth leads you, you know, to what? Now you are called by his name. You are called by his name. I know every one of us here has a surname, but really, before we were Adams, but now we are Christ's, if that could be a surname of every one of us. That is the name which we are given. Christians, you know, in the word Christians, what do you have? You have the word Christ, meaning that you belong to him. Oh, my dear friends, the landlord of the universe, the God of all gods, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, declares that you are his child. Who am I to doubt about that? Who am I? And that normally should push away any complex in me. You know, sometimes when we hear some testimonies, they are so dramatic, they are so powerful that I wonder, am I saved? In comparison to what I hear, because there was no shaking, there was nothing dramatic. Yes, you are still saved. You are still saved. The conversion of Paul and the conversion of Timothy outwardly were not the same, but inwardly they were all done by the power of the Spirit. We don't have to envy anyone, or we don't have to have any complex, because my conversion didn't happen on the way of Damascus like Paul. You are a child of God. God declares that you are his child, and this should give you assurance. But here is the caution. Because you are a child of God, God asks you that your life matches, your life parallels your appellation. Your life should parallel that. You know how James called it? James chapter 2, verse 7. He said, we are called with a worthy name. The queen will not give you a worthy name, speaking reverently about her. The president, the prime minister, would not give you a worthy name. But in Christ, we are given the name Christians. It is a noble name. It is a dignified name. It is a worthy name. It is the greatest promotion a man could receive in this world and in the world to come. And James says, 1 Peter actually, chapter 4, verse 16, Peter says, when you are persecuted because you are a Christian, that name is an excellent name. Don't be ashamed of it. But the second part, not only we have to walk according to the surname we are given, but God, because we are his children, will discipline us. My dear friends, in my small mind again, may I say this to every one of us? Because you are a child of God, God will chasten you. And the chastening of God or his chastisement is not a sign of dislike. It is a sign of love. You read it in Hebrews chapter 12. It is a sign of love. Whom he loves, he chastens. If God is not chastening you and me, we should be in trouble. But I must come to the second heading. Oh, we are identified all by believing in Christ Jesus. You become a child of God. Number 2, look at it in verse 27. Baptized for us many. The word all, please allow my exaggeration, it appears in all the verses, all the four verses. Because here in verse 27, we could also, for all of you us have been, all of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have also been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are two aspects. I hope I make it simple. There are two aspects in this verse 27. The first one speaks about baptism. But the baptism here has nothing to do with water baptism. It is about the inward baptism, internal baptism, the shaking of the soul, the baptism of the soul, the cleansing of the soul. And this is done by the Holy Spirit. No priest, no cardinal, no pastor, no pope, no man, no prophet, no angel, no apostle could ever do that internal baptism to you and me. It must be only by the power of the Holy Spirit, that inward baptism. And actually, water baptism is not mentioned at all here in the context. So what does it mean? My dear friends, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, faith on the Lord Jesus Christ equal being baptized into Christ. That is why as soon as you trust on the Lord, the Holy Spirit baptizes you. Of course, a spirit-baptized person, a spirit-baptized person would also ask for water baptism. What is the example I can give you just to make it simple again? Oh, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He heard the gospel. Philip spoke to him by reading to him Isaiah 53, explaining to him that Christ is going to suffer on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit was at work in his heart. He was shaken. He was moved by the gospel. And he said, well, having understood that he is a sinner, he said, here are waters. What hinders me? What stops me to be baptized? And Philip said to him, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be baptized. And you remember what he said? I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe on the Son of God. And they entered into the waters and they came out from the waters. You can see it was not sprinkling. They entered into the waters. And later the eunuch went back to Ethiopia rejoicing. So that is the first aspect. My dear friends, water baptism without spirit baptism, you are only pouring upon yourself waters of condemnation. That's why never seek for baptism if you are not really converted. If you are not really baptized by the power of the Spirit, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't seek for water baptism. Faith comes first, and then water baptism. Holy Spirit baptism comes first, then water baptism. But look at the second aspect Paul is telling us here. You are not only baptized, but the second aspect in verse 27, have put on Christ. What a great expression in the Word of God. You know, what does it mean to have put on Christ? It means you are clothed with Christ's righteousness. That is the meaning. You have like a garment, you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning what? Christ is never far from you. You are never far from your clothes. You are never far from your garment. You are never far from your uniform. Christ becomes your uniform. Of course, Christ removes the old garment. You know, when Christ saves us, he doesn't leave us in our old rags, filthy rags, and then he puts a new one. No, no, no. The old rags, the filthy rags have to be removed. And you don't need me to tell you this, especially in the West. In the past, every guild of work, every department of work, Like if you take medics, you take soldiers, you take farmers, you take bakers, you take every department, aspect of different employment in the society, people will have a special uniform to distinguish them from one another. In the past, what you wear defines who you are. So, we as Christians, what defines us? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not just utter words to believe in him, but we put on Christ. We become one with him. Put on Christ means have fellowship with him. Put on Christ means have the heart of Christ. Have his compassion, his passion for souls, his life of honesty, integrity, his life of holiness. Put on Christ means walk in his steps. Put on Christ means you are his child. What does God expect from you and you, my dear friends? What does God expect from a child? What are parents expecting from their own children? John 14, verse 21, you know the passage. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandment. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, oh, this is a great verse. It should be memorized by every believer. Hereby we know that we know. We know him because we obey his commandment. That is the difference between the believer and the non-believer. How do I know I belong to Christ? I obey his commandment. I obey his moral law. I obey every commandment. Wherever the Lord Jesus Christ said, obey my commandments, I obey them because I am his. I want to dress like him. I want to walk like him. Oh, put on Christ, Romans 13, verse 13 and 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and push away the works of the flesh and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. You know, when the prodigal son came back from the far country, what did the father do? He clothed him with the best robe. He came back with filthy garments. Remember, he was working with swines. He must be filthy, smelly, and he must be depraved. He must be polluted. He must be somebody denigrated on that occasion. But the father said, bring the best robe. Put a ring in his finger. Bring shoes, new shoes. Oh, kill the fat calf. But Christ did not only kill the fat calf. He gave his life for us. He gave himself for us. Oh, my dear friends, first of all, you are identified as a child of God. The second, you are baptized into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. The third, you have put on Christ. But let's come to my third heading this morning, verse 28. Look at verse 28. We have a few minutes to deal with those two last verses. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are one in Christ Jesus. My third heading is united. All are united. You see again the all there? In that verse, all of us united in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, you see the result? As a result of you and me becoming children of God, as a result of being baptized in the Spirit, as a result of having put on Christ, there is oneness between us. A Christian is somebody, husband loves his wife. You know what Calvin said? He said, a husband who does not love his wife is a monster. He's a monster, cannot be a believer. So you see, our world is trying to get rid of everything. No more respect to anyone in the government. You read it, I'm sure, in France the other day, a citizen slapped his own president. Unbelievable. At least in my small mind, unbelievable. Where is the respect? Where is the honor? If you do that to a president, what do you do then to your own parents? A society, a shameless society. And this is why we need to hear the gospel. My dear friends, when it comes to salvation, men are not more favored than women. Women are not more favored than men. Adults are not more favored than children. No one is superior. We all have equal need of mercy and grace because Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. We all need that grace of God. In most cultures, it is better to be a boy than a girl, but it was not so in the case of the Bible when it comes to salvation. In many countries, you are first a citizen of your country. You are a Jew or a Greek. You know, Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, he believed that the Greeks are a superior race. Guess what? Why he said that? Because he believed that God gave them a better climate. A better climate, sunshine climate. That makes the ideal man, he said, a spirited man, a brave man, a courageous man, an intelligent man. But when it comes to our new faith, you and me, as children of the living God, I am first not a citizen of this nation, but I'm first and I act first and foremost as a Christian. So that's why I should say to myself, when I'm puzzled or perplexed about a situation, the first question that should come to my mind, what would Christ do in my stead? If I was sitting with Christ, what would he do? And Peter had to learn that the hard way. You remember in Acts chapter 10, when he was told to eat, oh, I have never eaten something impure. But God said, this is pure. You have not to qualify it to be impure. And he had to go to Cornelius. And there he said, now I understand. But he still sinned again. Here in Galatians chapter 2, he played the hypocrite, dissimulation. And he played favoritism in relating to the Jews when Judaism came, and Paul had to rebuke him. He learned the lesson hard way. When you take the church of Philippi, my dear friends, that is in Acts chapter 16, who were the first believers there? Oh, look at it. Lydia, the trade woman, the servant maid from whom Paul removed the demons, and then the jailer. And when you come to Philippians chapter 4, you find Clement as a member of that church, Eodias, Syntyche. These were all, you see, I thank God. My dear friends, we thank God that we are in a church with diversity. The problem is not our faces. It's not our pigmentation or depigmentation. It's not our anatomy. It's not our background. It's not our ethnicity. It's not our education. It's not what we have or what we do not have. It's not our skills, our prowess. It's not our condition or position. But the problem is sin, the heart problem of our society. That's why we need a solution against our identity crisis. Oh, that antidote is the Lord Jesus Christ. The fall of man perverted all things. But I must close. My time is over. Look at verse 29. We are all made equal. Equal. With inheritance. A super inheritance given to us. Because you are a child of God. Because you have been baptized into Christ. Because you have put on Christ. Because there is that oneness between us. We are in one family. We have our duties. We have our beauties. We have our privileges. We have also, because we belong, we are heirs of Christ. And we are heirs of the promise. Verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. I don't have time to take you to Numbers 26 and 27. But in the Bible, ladies, women, and men have equal inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Honor them as a weaker vessel. Knowing that, both of you are co-heirs of the grace of life. If you do not do that, Christ said, your prayers be hindered. God will not answer your prayers. So equal inheritance, because you belong to Christ, because you are one with Christ, because you are one with the people of Christ. Oh, my dear friends, let me just read one or two verses to you as I close. We are told in Isaiah 53, verse 11, he shall see Christ of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God loves us so much that he put us in his will. The prime minister will not put me in his will. Forbidden, never, impossible. But God, who owns heaven and earth, all possessions, heaven belongs to him. He put me in his will. He put you in his will if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Your name is in his book. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, we are told that Christ is made by God in us sanctification, righteousness, wisdom, redemption. Oh, my dear friends in Christ, we have it all. We do not envy anyone. We have all we need in order to fight prejudice and to fight any human crisis identity. Any human identity crisis. The solution is not to look at the therapists, but to look at the Savior. Be converted. Become a child of God. Be baptized by the Spirit. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be united with the people of God, wherever they are. And you become heir of God. You become the seed of Abraham. But you also become the heir of the promise of God. More could be said. Thank you for your patience. May the Lord bless his word in our souls.